It was a very enriching experience to meet with the brethren in two countries, in Ecuador and Peru. We visited about 11 churches. And even though we could not speak the same language, we prayed to the same Lord and sang a lot of the same songs and observed the Lord's Supper together. I saw one baptized into Christ. And so, sometimes people say it's a small world if you know a person far away, and no, actually it's a large family in the Lord. And the reason that we want to make trips like this is because Jesus gave his apostles and his church the marching orders in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." And the gospel is spread, of course, from Jerusalem. Here we are in North Alabama. You know, in the state of Alabama, there are more congregations call themselves Churches of Christ than almost any other religious group except the Baptist denomination. There are places that you can go into the world where there are very few Churches of Christ that are seeking to restore the New Testament pattern of the Lord. And so it's not just the idea that Jesus said just to go. There's a reason why Jesus wants us to go. He says, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." A person's eternal destiny is at stake. And only 6% of the world's population lives in the United States. And every person made in the image of God will spend an eternity somewhere. A person is either saved or lost. So Jesus gave the solution, the gospel, to save people's souls. And when we think about the world, we don't think about the planet. We think about the people that are on the planet. For God so loved the world, that is, the world lost in sin, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Saving souls is God's priority. Saving souls was Jesus' priority. And I'm thankful for the good work of the congregation here of wanting to support men in different places to spread the borders of the kingdom to save souls. Here's a picture of the three amigos at the equator. The word Ecuador in Spanish means equator. And I had the privilege to go with Jeff Archer, who preaches over at Jordan Park, and Greg Roark, who has lived in Venezuela and now preaches in Panama. And he was our translator. And since I don't know Spanish, I don't know if he did a good job or not, but Jeff, who knows Spanish, said that he did an excellent job. So we're very thankful to have men like that who are willing to go and work with us. So I had a lot of pretty pictures of the beautiful countryside of Ecuador and of Peru. That's on Facebook. I don't have very many of those here in this presentation as I concentrated on the work. We went to Ecuador, and as we flew into Ecuador, into Quito, which is at about 9,400 feet high, and to get our sense of perspective, Denver's called the Mile High City. It's about 5,000 feet high. So Quito is about the 2 mile high city. Quito has about 2.5 million people. It's the capital of Ecuador. There's about 14 million people in Ecuador. And we traveled from Quito, stayed in Quito a few days, and then we went down to Ambato. And this is traveling down the spine of the Andes Mountains, and then Riobamba. And as far as I know, no American preachers had been there. And then we went down to Machala, which is on the Pacific Ocean. And then we went up past Guayaquil, and we went up to Santo Domingo. And we drove about 25 hours all total, driving over Ecuador. We had not intended to do that. We intended to fly from Machala to back to Quito. But when we were in Quito, the travel agent that we talked to said, "Well, I'm sorry, there are no flights available." And when we got down to Machala, Elias de Villa said, "Well, why didn't you take a flight from Santa Rosa to go back there?" So what is the take that then? So there was a flight available. So what's the take-home lesson is that experts can be wrong. Okay. But there are about 30 conservative congregations in the country due to the teaching efforts in large part by Reed Braswell. Reed did a lot of work going into the Amazon jungle and making contact with brethren in Ecuador. Brother Braswell, that the church here supported, died about 2 years ago due to a rare brain disease. So we need to be thankful for the work that he did in pioneering the gospel cause there in Ecuador. When we got to Ecuador, we met with David Quinatoa. David Quinatoa is in his late 30s. He's very much impressed with him. He is very studious, very knowledgeable. And we had some studies there in the hotel there in Quito, down in the basement. And you notice he's holding his two fingers together. We're talking about marriage, about one man, one woman for one lifetime. And we covered a range of topics, the topics like marriage, divorce and remarriage, women's role in the church, which are hot topics in the United States, or topics that they have discussions down there. But we enjoyed having our studies with him, and he's very enjoyable to be with. One thing that he introduced us to was cooey. Cooey, when you go driving along the side of the road, he'll say, cooey, and they would be cooking these kind of weasel-like rat creatures. And so I wanted to remind him the Bible talks about not eating meat to offend your brother. But this was when we stayed there in the hotel, this is where I experienced my first earthquake. I was in the morning, I was reading my Bible, and I noticed all of a sudden the ceiling began to creak, like a 1,000-pound person was walking across the floor above us. And then all of a sudden the floor and the walls began to shake. And I go, what's going on here? And then I saw the chandeliers began to shake. And fortunately, there was no damage. So it was a minor earthquake. But it was just so effortlessly, the hotel was shaking, and I was just impressed by the great power that is there when you have an earthquake. But anyway, the buildings are made to take things like that, so it was no problem whatsoever. Ecuador is predominantly Catholic, and this statue here by Quito is the world's largest statue of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And this is a picture of her stepping on the head of the serpent. And that's from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, crushing the head of the serpent. If you carefully read that passage, it talks about the seed of the woman, the Messiah, would be the one that would crush the head of the serpent. As you see there in Quito, we met the first day we were there, Marcelo Lopez, who's to the right there, but on my left. He is a preacher there in Quito. The church there meets in South Quito. And also to my right is Santiago, who preaches with him. And as you can see, I grew quite a bit when I was down there. I was thinking, you know, Annette Gooch would fit in really well down there. That's what I was thinking. Actually, one of the hotels, when I'd go out the door, I felt like Larry Vinson. I had to duck to go out of the door. Jeff Archer took a picture of me in a taxi when my head is like that, squished up against the ceiling. And I told them it was a good lesson about humility. I wish I could shrink myself and be smaller. Humility means to be low-lying. And so we met with the church there, and the church, we met there with the church on Saturday night. And one of the interesting things in visiting all the churches there in Ecuador and Peru, all the churches had PowerPoint except one, which I thought was very interesting. And sermons I taught were like Marks of a True Disciple. I preached some lessons on surveying the seven traits of a faithful church from the seven churches of Asia. And Jeff Archer, he had two sermons in Spanish on hypocrisy and Judgment Day. So one of the good things about traveling is you get to preach the same sermon over and over again. And Greg got to know my sermon quite well. But this is the outside of the church Saturday night where we met. South Quito is somewhat poorer than other parts, like the northern part of Quito. But Marcelo Lopez is a preacher there, and there's some material that we delivered to him. He is, of course, very grateful, as all the brethren were, for the material that we took in a suitcase down there. Marcelo Lopez was the preacher at the Quito church there that was associated with the Bible Institute. And as we talked about the work of the church and his reasons for leaving that church, there were that Bible Institute, the strategy was to set up a Bible Institute to teach preachers and then start churches out of the Bible Institute. And he said that it came to be that the church was an adjunct to the Bible Institute. The Bible Institute was what was essential then to help spread the Bible. And he said 2/3 of the money taken up went to support the Institute. 1/3 went to support the work of the church. The Institute was overseen by a board of directors and not the elders of the congregation. And he said what was troubling to him is when he would raise questions, there was no discussion about the scripturalness of the organization. He was just, you know, let go. His salary was cut off. So, and that's happened as we go through this. This has happened in several other places where you have either the sponsoring church organization or a Bible Institute organization overseeing the work of preachers has taken place in Ecuador and Peru. But Marcelo, I really enjoy being around Marcelo. He's a very encouraging, very upbeat person. It's interesting. I couldn't understand a word he said. He was speaking Spanish, but he was just so pleasant, and he had a big smile. It just made me feel good just talking to him. Meeting with the brethren there on Sunday, that is one of the members. There's Hugo and his daughter. I believe it's Samantha is her name. And I noticed Samantha is reading her Bible. And I was just real impressed with their sincerity. And when you can't understand what they're saying, but when they have these bright eyes and they have these smiles and they hug you and they kiss you, you know that they're glad to see you. One of the things I thought was interesting in taking the Lord's Supper is, if you'll look at that, they had individual pieces of bread there. And the church there in Quito has a tradition is that when they distribute the bread, they wait until everyone has their piece of bread and they all take it together simultaneously. And it's just a way to encourage unity, that we're all doing this at the same time and remembering the same Lord. And also, I was happy to see that Carlos was immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. That's Santiago who immersed him into Christ. Then Sunday afternoon, we went out to a mall. It's interesting, you can go to places where it's very poor areas, and then there's other areas that you go, you think you're in the United States. And we were at a Sunday afternoon, had some Juan Valdez coffee. And like I said, I didn't understand Marcelo all that he said, but I think he said something, but I couldn't believe how Alabama had such a great recruiting season this past year. But I'm just kidding. It's always good to see if people are paying attention. But in this discussion, a lady came up to us and asked us about her son was in the United States and something about getting him a job. And we said, well, we wouldn't be able to get him a job. But Marcelo gave her his business card. And because of that, Greg had a Bible study, had a discussion with her, which I think is a good lesson about evangelism is something that takes place during the daily course of life in the events that happen, that it's not, a lot of times it's not structured. You just, a situation comes up and you take advantage of that, of how the Bible may apply to that. At Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, they went everywhere preaching the word. Then after we left Quito, we went to the equator and looked at the monument that's there. And then we went on our way to Ambato. Now this, when we went to Ambato, it was very cloudy and overcast. We got a picture of the volcano, but it wasn't very clear. So this is on a clear day. This is Mount Cotopaxi, which is a semi-active volcano. You can go there. There's still, they say, sulfur that's coming up out of the volcano. Also, land is real cheap around the volcano. And that's 19,000 feet. That's the second highest mountain in Ecuador. And there's the top of that volcano there. We went to see Miguel Quintanilla and his wife Teresa, who preaches there. He preaches there in Ambato. Ambato has about 300,000 people. And they're the parents of David Quintanilla, who accompanied us on the trip. And that's the meeting place. Like most of the churches there, they take some member donates or gives them space in their own personal property to help the church to meet, because of buying property is quite expensive for them to do. So we met with them on Monday night, And one of the things that Miguel said is that, well, a lot of the members couldn't come because they had to work. Also, he talked about there was having a carnival, and he was talking that some of the weaker members, you know, were at the carnival, and he was apologizing for that. And I told him, well, we have the same situation here in the United States. Sometimes we'll have some event, and people will go see other things and do other things instead of assembling with the saints. So that's always a challenge, whether you're in Ecuador or in the United States. If you'll notice there's a chart behind the brethren there. This is a chart, if you've seen Robert Harkrider's Basic Bible Doctrine, about the reproducing the New Testament church. Even though we speak a different language, we follow the same Bible. And from the seed of the Word, you know, you have credo, the belief. You have the plan of salvation. You have the mission of the church. You have the organization of the church. The names of Christians, santos, saints, disciples, hermanos, brethren. So I thought that was very interesting, that what we're doing, we're planting the seed of the Word, even though it's spoken different languages, that reproduces the same thing as it did in the New Testament. Of course, Miguel was quite appreciative of the material that was sent to him. And afterwards, we had a long Bible study. It was about a couple of hours, and we were discussing things like women's role in the church. Can women speak in Bible class? You ever been in a Bible class where people talked about that? Okay, well, they talk about the same thing. Now, one of the things that where they meet, where they have their Bible class and where they have the assembly is in the same place. It's maybe easier for us to say, well, you have a Bible class over there and the auditorium is in here. But we had a lengthy discussion along that line. And then the next day we went to Riobamba. I think we were the first Americans to visit Riobamba. You had some brethren from another congregation. I forget which congregation they were from, but they came. And two of the preachers in the area is named Secundo. Secundo means second. And I thought that's an interesting name. My name is Second. And there in preaching, Greg is translating for me. And on the pulpit there, you see there's the pulpit. The pulpit there is Christ is the anchor of my life. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. I thought I liked that. Then leaving from Riobamba, we traveled south. We're going along the Andes Mountains, and we're going to be descending down to sea level to Machala. It's about an eight-hour drive. Very beautiful. Enjoyed the scenery. And then we come to the Pacific Ocean. There they grow cocoa and bananas and other things there. And there's the outside of where the brother meet in Machala. L.S. Davila is the preacher there, and his wife is Inez. And they're very hospitable. They kept two of the preachers with them, and they're very hospitable, and we enjoyed being with them very much. Elias turned his garage into a place for the church to meet, and so we're meeting in his garage, basically, and we'd had about 35 or so brethren would come. And notice that little boy there that's at the bottom right of the picture. After the services, he went up to the pulpit, and he stood behind the pulpit and looked over the pulpit like he was going to preach. And I caught him, and I said, I want to take his picture. And it's like, that's the church of the future in Ecuador. So we appreciate the work that Elias has done in converting people and building up the church in Machala. Then after we were with the church in Machala, the next day we went up to Las Palmas. Las Palmas is about 30 miles away. And I wish I could remember this brother's name here, right there, but this is his home, and the church meets there on his back porch. And so we sang, and Greg Roark preached a lesson in Spanish. And I wish I could remember this brother's name. It was very touching. This brother had a daughter that died of cancer. And his son-in-law was so distraught that his son-in-law hung himself. And so he was so distraught that he became an alcoholic. And he also tried to commit suicide. He tried to slit his throat. Elias met him, taught him the gospel and converted him. And he told Jeff, he says, "I'm so glad to be alive, both physically and spiritually." And on my Facebook page, I have a video of us singing there on the back porch with some other videos of the brethren singing. But then after we leave Las Palmas and then Machala, we're going to be driving up north to Santo Domingo. Santo Domingo was about an 8-hour drive. And there you can see to the left, going through traffic to try to find where the brethren met there in Santo Domingo. It was kind of hard to find. But there to the right, you have the brethren. They waited very patiently because we were delayed getting there. So they waited about 30 minutes or so. And one of the interesting things, when you go there, they want all three of us to preach. And they're very eager to hear us. And that is Jose Cueva. He is the preacher there. Olin had sent them some communion ware and some song books. And I wish I had gotten the table, but there was a table here where they have the communion ware and the song books. They kept them on a table. And underneath the table there, they kept the boxes that they were sent in, just to have something to remember that they appreciate that being sent to them. Jose was converted. He was a Catholic, and he went to the Amazon to cut sugar cane. And his wife converted him. And that family of his wife converted him. And they moved back to Santo Domingo, and he is the preacher there now. They have 5 children. For example, there's a young lady there. That's Isabella. She's 19. She's on Facebook. And then after leaving Ecuador, we went on to Peru, and we visited 2 cities, Lima and then Arequipa, visiting 5 churches, and then 2 other preachers in 2 other churches in neighboring congregations. And so Greg and I were the first Americans to go down to Arequipa, as far as we know. And we support Fausto Leon. That's Fausto to the right, and I'm in the back seat. And that's our taxi driver, and he's having a Bible discussion with him. As we're about to get out and we're going to pay him, he's been having a Bible discussion with him. And so Fausto has done a good job in making contact with several people there in Lima. The person on the left there is a preacher at La Brisa. His name is Paolo. As you can see, that's daylight you can see there. They constructed that meeting place on their own, whatever materials they could find. And this is Ignacio. And these are 2 preachers that he had contacted, as I mentioned before, that they had been supported by the Latin American mission that was overseen by a coordinator. And this coordinator, you had an organization where the coordinator would, he would play favorites as far as how he would dole out various clothes and monetary support. And also, there was an infringement on local autonomy. And when these 2 preachers pointed this out and wanted to have a discussion about that, whether it was scriptural or not, their support was cut off. They said that this coordinator lives in a 5-story house. That sounds pretty big, but anyway, they say he lives in a really big house and is very domineering. And this is really a violation of what the New Testament teaches about direct support and local church autonomy. But Fausto is the one that got the contacts with these preachers and the appointments for us to come and visit with them. Now, in Lima, it has a population of 8 million people. 8 million people. That's a lot of people. We visited churches in San Juan, Surco, Las Brisas, which is over here, and then Ponta Piedra. And then we visited preacher Carlos Salvador over here in the Pearl or La Perla, and also San Martin. San Martin's where Ignacio preaches. So, a lot of times, I like to preach, and Sunday I got to preach 4 times, and I think I had enough at the end of the day. But it's quite enjoyable. When you go to Lima, there's a great disparity in the economic condition that you see. The southern part of Lima, Miraflores, would look like you're walking around in the United States. I mean, they have all the American chains and they have nice new malls. It's like you're in the United States. Then you go to the north and it rapidly becomes very impoverished. This house right here is in Ponte Piedra, right by the where the church would meet is to the left. And so when we would go there, we would see these kids every time we'd go, come and leave. And I would take their picture and show their picture. And they got all excited about that. They had never seen that before. And that's the oldest sister. And those are the little kids. And I just think that's just a really precious picture. Here they are living in poverty. They don't have shoes. And, you know, if one of us lived in a situation like that, we would feel sorry for ourselves. But they don't know they're supposed to feel sorry for themselves. So we sometimes take our blessings, what we have, for granted. This is a picture of a little girl at the airport who came up to me and wanted to shine my shoes for 50 cents. And so I let her shine my shoes, and I gave her about $10. And I said, now smile real big. I tried to get her to smile really big. And that was the best that she could do. And there were little kids selling things like gum on the street, little 10-year-old kids selling gum, and that's just to survive. So we need to be sure that we don't take our blessings for granted. We need to have compassion to help those who are in need, but also we need to be grateful for the many blessings that we have. Instead of looking at what we don't have, appreciate the things that we do have. Because compared to most people in the world, we live like royalty. On that Sunday when I was able to meet with four different churches, this is the church at San Juan. They had about 15 members, and they meet in the home of Mario. And that is Mario right there that welcomed us. And you know, there's a saying that there is a broken heart in every pew. Mario said that he wanted to go out with us and meet with us during the day sometime, so we took him out to lunch and we met with him. And he said, and he just broke down and talked about his wife is in stage 4 cancer and she's going to die in the next month or two. And about all the financial problems, he can't pay all his bills, and he just needed some encouragement. And he provides this place for the church to meet because he wants to help the Lord's church. So we enjoyed meeting with those brethren at San Juan. Then we went to Circo. Brother Emilio there to the right, he's about 70 years old. Also, his wife has cancer. And we met with the church there. And then we went over to La Brisa. And that is the meeting house that they constructed of whatever materials that they could find after the preacher was told to leave wherever he was preaching, and they secured this place and the property. So they had about 15 people that met. And what's interesting, here in Spanish, yeah, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, remain faithful. See? He uses the same verses we do. Why is that? Well, we're looking at the same book, the Bible, the New Testament. Then we met with the church at Ponte Piedra, which is on the far north part of Lima. And this is where Carlos Perez preaches and his wife Eliana. This is the second time that I've been there at the church. A very warm, loving church. I have a video on YouTube. I could see them greeting one another. I would say that it is probably the most genuine, sincere, affectionate greeting. Not just a few people, but it's just virtually everyone. Shaking hands, hugging, embracing. And it was just so incredibly encouraging to me to see this heartfelt love and connection that these brethren have. Now, the interesting thing about Brother Carlos Perez, and I mentioned this before when I went to Peru 3 years ago, the church that's supporting him, he was supported by a sponsoring church. The church there when he was questioning their telling that congregation what to do, when he questioned that, his salary was cut off. As he continued to question that, the church there in, it was in Georgia, was paying for the property where they could build a building. They had a note, and he had co-signed that note. They stopped payment on that. So he had to borrow money and mortgage things in order to pay off that note. So you have this situation in Lima where they've been kind of under a dictatorial kind of system there, and they come to understand the idea of independent, autonomous churches and direct support of preachers without human machinery or middlemen. And there, the brethren there in Ponte Piedra, just so warm and loving, and I just really enjoyed being with them. This brother here, he was converted 6 years ago. He was in his 60s. Sometimes we think people aren't going to be converted when they're young. But he was a Catholic, and he was converted. Then we had the opportunity to go down to Arequipa there in the south. That's Mount Misti there on the left. And we went up on this tower where you could see the different mountain ranges there. It was a cloudy day. We couldn't see very much. Well, that's Brother Sabino Choki. Sabino Choki there, as I take that picture. And what is he doing? He has his Bible out, and he's talking to the lady who's cleaning the area, and he's inviting her to the meeting. We had day services and evening services there. As I said, we were the first Americans to go to Arequipa. And one of the things that Brother Sabino did that I really loved is before they had a meal, they would sing a song. Now, it helped that they had good voices and it sounded good. But they would always sing a song of Señor is Lord, gracias is thank you. So they had this song that they would sing. And it was just very edifying. Then in the church, that brother there to the left, he's a former evangelical pastor who was converted. And they have about 25 members there. You know, sometimes you have to think about what you're saying. This brother comes in, and he's blind. And I said, without thinking, I said, brother, it's good to see you. And he says, it's good to feel you. So when I was to speak that night, I was asked to preach a lesson on the heartache of alcohol. There was two different places I was asked to talk about the problem of alcohol and drugs, because that's a problem like it is here. And so there to the right, you have the brethren. That is Erica. She's a college student. She works the PowerPoint. You have the laptop is there, and there's the PowerPoint. And they said, please come see us again. Jeff noticed that one of the phrases they would say is, please don't be afraid to come back. Please don't be afraid to come back. As Olin mentioned when he asked Elias, what is one thing that we can do to encourage, what can we do to encourage you? And he said, just come visit us. And because you have basically small churches, 15, 25, the largest is maybe 50. And they don't have a lot of money, but they have a lot of love, and they have a commitment to the Lord, and they have a commitment to doing what the Bible says. And they always sent their greetings that they genuinely appreciate the brethren supporting me to go over there. And they just want you to know how thankful that they are. There are things that we can do. We can send things to brethren if we know of a situation to help them. And that's something if we can have, I can get the email or address if you want to have contact with any of these preachers that I have talked about in these lessons, so you can just write them directly and be an encouragement to them. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So I want to thank you in supporting me to go out there and to help teach the gospel to people who are receptive and very appreciative for that. And we need to have a heart for the lost, and we can pray that God will open doors of opportunity and to support those who can go and teach the gospel to save souls, because that's the only thing that's going to endure throughout eternity.